The summer school we had the past week was 7 days of lectures and practice sessions. The lectures were about topics that have been maybe discovered, invented in the past 6 months, so very new. And they were given by people who were doing the discovery and invention of these topics.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the EVN Disrupt podcast. My name is Nejdet Zatryan. I'm the editor of the tech section here at EVN Report. Our guests today were Peruz Taslakyan and Eric Arakelyan, both of whom are research scientists in the field of AI. We spoke about the recently organized Armenian Large Language Model Summer School, during which 70 participants learned about the most recent advancements in AI research. Peruz and Eric shared with us the curriculum of the summer school and what projects they worked on. We also discussed the concept of academic summer schools more broadly and how to better institutionalize scientific collaboration between diasporan researchers and students here in Armenia. Thank you for listening. Peruz, Eric, thank you so much for being here today. Let's start with a little bit of your guys' backgrounds. Peruz, tell us your area of research focus.
So my name is Peruz Taslakyan. I am a research scientist at a company called ServiceNow. I'm based in Montreal in Canada. I also am the research lead of one of the research programs in the research group of that company. My background is originally in theoretical computer science, but I've been doing research in AI for the past 7 to 8 years now. Currently, my research focus is large language models and multimodal foundation models in particular. And my team and I work in this area. We publish research and we also contribute to some of the products of the company.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about what ServiceNow does and how your research is impacting directly the products that they're working on?
Yes, so ServiceNow is an enterprise software company. They provide enterprise software for big corporations. They have many products, and all these products would benefit and do benefit from generative AI. Mm-hmm. And given that we are in the area of generative AI, such as large language models and vision models, different aspects of these products benefit from the research we do in the research group.
Right.
Such as like chatbots, their personal right. chatbot that you know, would give you information about the different products of the company and right. the policies, etc.
Right.
This is one example.
Fantastic. And Eric?
Yeah, thanks for the invite, Nejdetjan. My name is Eric Arakelyan. I am a PhD candidate researcher at the University of Copenhagen. My research focuses mostly on currently on large language models, as unsurprising as it sounds. It's mostly about like how do they reason, why do they reason, is it possible to do some decompositions about it. I come from a background of more fundamental ML research, like knowledge graphs, complex reasoning over them. And my background is actually in computer science, but then I transitioned into machine learning research. Yep.
Fantastic. So you are both in town for the first edition of the Armenian Large Language Model Summer School. Before we dive into how it went over the last week and what the participants were working on, tell us a little bit about the topic of summer, the concept of summer schools in general, because people from outside of academia and the scientific world might think of back of summer school as something like you did in high school in the summers if you needed an extra credit or something. But what do we mean when we say summer school in the context of
yes.
academia?
So in the context of academia, summer schools are usually intensive technical or academic trainings that happen over a period of very short time, but that pack a lot of mostly concurrent information and expertise. So, for example, the summer school we had the past week was 7 days of lectures and practice sessions that lasted from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. in the evening. The lectures were about topics that have been maybe discovered, invented in the past 6 months, mostly, so very new. And they were given by people who were doing the discovery and invention of these topics or technologies. Right. And the students, so our morning sessions from 9 to 12 were mainly lectures by these professionals or academics. And the afternoons were reserved for applying what they learned in the morning into, well, applying them in by coding and creating and training models, et cetera.
And is the idea of the necessity for a summer school, like as you mentioned, is a lot of these techniques and methods that they were studying were developed just in the recent 6 months or a year, given how fast the field is moving. Is one of the ideas of a summer school that like the regular curriculum that a graduate student or an undergraduate student follows is something that's usually iterated on less frequently than something as flexible as a summer school? So the summer school is a supplement to the traditional learning?
Yeah, I'd say so in a way. It's not something that's specific to Armenia, though, I have to mention.
Right.
It's like cutting-edge research and cutting-edge technology that you are not necessarily exposed during your bachelor's or master's, but you usually would like to at least be able to know some part of that dense information. That is why having a summer school or about a very particular set of innovations that are like driving the field is usually the way to go regarding like being inspired and then learning about the topic.
And diving deeper.
Yeah, diving deeper, like actually training the models.
Right.
But I think we'll dive about that
right.
later.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the curriculum over the week-long summer school. What was it that the participants were immersed in?
Okay, so the curriculum was about, well, large language models in a broad sense. But what we covered during the 7 days is we started with a quick overview of what the large language model technology is based on, which is the idea of transformers and attention. And then we moved to topics such as how we train these models, how we fine-tune these models, topics such as how do you build a multimodal language model that can also understand pictures and audio and video. Then we move to concepts in security training, how you make these models safe, what are certain things you can do to incorporate this in the model. We talked about retrieval augmented generation, which is a concept useful when you want to put these models in production. And concept of knowledge graphs, how you can use knowledge graphs and databases in conjunction with the language models. So all these topics were covered during the entire week.
And who was the average participant?
Ooh, we had like a very good spread of participants in this regard. So we had both very like seasoned industry professionals, engineers that have been there for a long while, and we had just like graduated students who are like fresh off the optimization courses, like their probability and stat courses, and wanted to like dive into something like very fresh. So I think the spread was very, very big in between the participants.
Mm. And one of the things that's really exciting about specifically a summer school around large language models is that the institutions that you guys come from, if you look at the roster of the speakers, people from companies like Meta and Google, a lot of these technologies and their applications are really sort of, I don't want to say gatekept, but like in order to really be participating in the development of them, you have to be at an institution like that because of how computationally expensive it is or because of just how cutting edge it is, like you guys said. So in some ways, it's much more impactful, a summer school around this topic than maybe some others, would you say?
Yes, that definitely is the case. Unfortunately, the type of when you want to do research in this space, you do need resources. Mm-hmm. You need big GPUs. You need infrastructure to help you actually have a feel of how these models train, etc. And we were very lucky to have a sponsor such as Nebius AI that provided all the students with GPUs for a week for free. And we use their infrastructure, so the participants had the option or the chance to have a feel of how training models on these big GPUs works
right.
in general.
Yeah.
So it definitely was a big help for us.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Can you tell us a little bit about what the students were working on in terms of, was there like a capstone or some sort of final project structure that they were working on? And what were those, the range of those projects?
So we adapted a bit of a, like, let's check day-to-day and let's check progress day-to-day type of a structure for our courses, essentially starting with lectures and older lectures at practice sessions. So day one was let's implement Transformer from scratch further, and day two was building on day one, now let's train Llama, which is like a large language model from Meta. Further on, we're moving, okay, now we know, like, these models are good. Let's actually take the more shadier side of them. Like, what do they struggle with? Mm-hmm. Do we need to align them, like RLHF type of a research, like human feedback, following human feedback type of a research. Further on, okay, now we have language models. Can we do different modalities, multimodal stuff? And every day had essentially a type of an exercising that, okay, we'll let you do it for yourself. And then we do live coding on, or in particular, one very fun one was, okay, now you have a language model that has some very private information inside of it. One part of the teams has to try to make their model safe, and the others have to prompt engineer an attack in order to essentially get that private information in some completeness. Right. So we try to, like, do as much interactive as we could, particularly for, like, RAG applications, more industry-oriented stuff. We just wanted to show how it's done. Mm-hmm. And for more, like, wherever we could gamify it, in a sense, we tried to. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there wasn't, like, an overarching thing, but we kind of made sure that they each day worked with the previous, like, knowledge they gathered.
Right. That's very cool. In terms of the actual, like, impact of a program like this, so the opportunity for increasing knowledge within the Armenian ecosystem and building better talent and stuff, that's a given, and that's there. But in terms of so you mentioned, like, a lot of the participants were from industry, let's say. How applicable would you say that the skill set obtained from a week-long summer school like this is within the industry in Armenia specifically, where it's not necessary that every company has access to large computational resources and things of that nature?
In terms of how applicable it is, or this knowledge is, in the industry of Armenia today, I am not sure. But this type of information or know-how is very, very crucial today. Today, AI is moving at a very fast pace, both within the industry and academically as well in research. And if we don't want to stay behind, we need to get our hands dirty in this and start working on it today. The summer school is one step or one thing we can do. But from what I saw the past week, there is a lot of talent, a lot of drive, and a big pool of students who are eager to work in this space. What we need is opportunities for them to apply their knowledge. What we need is programs, fellowships for them to do research, to get exposure, because you cannot do research in a bubble. Mm-hmm. You have to interact, you have to open up to the world, and we need to create opportunities for these students to apply their knowledge and show what they have as well to the world. And this is one aspect of this. That's very important. We will do our part of trying to bring the summer school and the experts to Armenia, hopefully every year. But there needs to be a continuation of this so that we're not left behind as a country, as a community, as... experts.
Yep. Can I have, like, a slight addition to the point? Essentially, just seeing the pure joy that people had during the summer school, joy in terms of, yeah, we never, like, even imagined, like, this would be a possibility. At least, like, I didn't when I was just doing my bachelor's here. And calling for this type of, like, institutionalized change, it becomes more of a necessity rather than, like, just a want.
Right. Yeah. But how do we make it more comprehensive? So now there's this group of, let's say, 70 people who've gone through the summer school, and some of them are now well-equipped to participate in research projects, fellowships, things of that nature. How do we build the second part of that frame?
I think it has to go with a lot of things in our country from top to bottom. Essentially, like, yeah, we can have a drive as individuals who live in Armenia, who care about Armenia, who care about research and engineering development of Armenia. We can do organizations like this. However, for it to be more institutionalized, there have to be opportunities. Opportunities meaning compute, first of all. Opportunities meaning fellowships for students to go do internships at the best companies, to go study at the best universities, to gather any type of knowledge. And those are quite quantifiable. Mm-hmm. As like a scientist, you can like imagine putting a number on it and then dividing it into subparts. And I don't think like it's very complicated to do. That was like the call for more institutionalized change, for essentially giving people at least some notion of an opportunity.
Yeah.
And this summer school was put together by individuals. Right. It was completely an individual kind of initiative. We got together, we did our best, we brought in our network, our friends, to give the talks, to organize things. But as Eric said, this needs to be an institutionalized effort if we want to keep it up. Mm-hmm. And we need a vision. We need to have a vision for the IT sector, for the AI sector in Armenia, a longer term vision. It's not from year to year, right? And this has to be in a more institutional way.
Right.
Just to once again highlight a very interesting point for me in this is that the... like amazing Armenians in diaspora, for example, Perus, and like a lot of our lecturers were Armenians that live in the diaspora. We just contacted them, and just based on their pure will and pure willingness, they decided, yeah, we will do it. We'll come in person if possible. And one part of this institutionalized work is maybe working with this type of individuals directly, like from top to bottom, asking them explicitly, can you give us something, and trying to figure that out.
Right. Right. If you ask, there's often a willingness.
A big willingness, yeah. I would put.
Yeah. Actually, we were surprised at how receptive people were. We, you know, cold called people who we knew they had some Armenian name, right. And we who have never been to Armenia, maybe their ancestors, you know, were never here, but they were like, yeah, we'll do it.
And there were some non-Armenian lecturers as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Which I think, is it safe to assume they were maybe like contacted or suggested by Armenian colleagues they had at those companies?
Exactly like that. So,
which is such a fantastic story.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, some of the lecturers stayed like late US hours, like 3 to 5 a.m. To teach the course. And they were like, yeah, we'll do it, no problem. And that was amazing, like purely inspirational to see.
That's really fantastic. I would suggest people go and take a look at the LLM summer page and take a look at the roster of lecturers. It's a really impressive group. So you guys come from much more mature ecosystems. Like, for example, Montreal has several really leading universities that do really cutting edge AI research. Mila is in Montreal, obviously. Google has a presence in Montreal, etc. When you talk about setting vision and institutionalizing things, who are you looking to for being the active leader in that vision setting? Is it something that you expect from at the governmental level? Is it universities? Is it just the ecosystem as a whole needs to come together and set that vision?
Yeah, you mentioned Mila in Montreal, which is a big force in Canada in general, where a lot of these technologies were invented by people like Joshua Bengio, etc. But these people could not have done their job without governmental support. So Joshua Bengio's earlier papers on AI and transformers or other technologies in natural language processing happened because the Canadian government gave him an extensive grant to do this kind of research during a period where the rest of the world were not focusing on AI. Mm-hmm. But they did the investment, and now it's a reality. And the Canadian government, just as one example of a government investing in AI, invests a lot in mm-hmm. AI. Research is an expensive endeavor. Mm-hmm. It needs governmental support. And similarly in Armenia, we do need governmental support in order to do what we have the expertise to do. And we have organizations such as Yerevan N, who do have the expertise, who do have the contacts, the exposure, and the circle within Yerevan and abroad to make this happen. We just need to find the right formula for these two to work together mm-hmm. and to involve the diaspora as well. Because in the diaspora, we do have a lot of people who would be willing to come and give their time. They just don't know where to start.
Right.
And we need to find the right formula to make all these pieces work together well in order to get somewhere together on, along this vision that we need to still create.
Right. It's an interesting framing. So one part of that formula, as you put it, is access to more compute. So one thing that's been positive news and welcomed by the community is that the government allocated, I think, close to $8 million to purchase a supercomputer that will hopefully become operational in the next 6 months, let's say. How does the inclusion of this into the formula help maybe academics, researchers from the diaspora collaborate more closely with institutions like Yerevan? And is that something that opens up a new opportunity?
It definitely does. So I think we've been compute bound in Armenia for a very, very long time. And that's definitely a step in the very right direction, very correct direction. And like, I would like more of it, to be quite honest, but that's a very personal want. Mm-hmm. But in terms of more serious research now that you are able to do, like, you aren't able to fine-tune a 7B model prior to this. And hopefully now with this, you would be able to do. And this essentially opens an area of research which was enclosed not by skill, but more by compute, which is even absurd to say.
Right.
But definitely a strong move in the right direction.
Because when you look at, again, Yerevan as the primary example, if you look at some of their research projects that have been done in collaboration with diasporan scientists, it's sometimes been a result of having access to the compute that was provided by that organization, let's say. But as compute becomes more and more valuable, it's understandable that resource might not necessarily always be there. It's interesting to think about, like you mentioned, the finding ways to creating more opportunities for ways to involve diasporan scientists. And maybe there's a willingness, but not necessarily they don't necessarily know how to get involved, what the first step always needs to be. And I know there have been some attempts at institutionalizing it. Like there was a platform called Gitak that attempted to connect students with supervisors abroad and things like that. What is a tangible way to institutionalize it? Like, does there need to be, for instance, there's so many councils, I don't want to suggest building a new one, but is there a way of sort of organizing this in a way that makes it easier for either side to take a first step? Or is that a hard question to ask?
Sure. It is a hard question.
It's essentially like, what should the vision be and where should it start? So, like, you know, I think like many countries that started on, Romania used to be very small in LLP, I think in 2010s, but it suddenly like boomed out when the government explicitly created something of a, it was not a council, but more of a institute that people were guided towards. Mm-hmm. And the idea would be to have something along those lines. Like it would be either like a very big, like funded research institution, an institute, something along those lines. And from top down, like it will become more apparent. Gitak will start to attract more attention because now we know, like Armenian AI, whatever, is the place that I want to go. I have an email to contact. Like it's even much more simpler for a person in diaspora to act upon. And once such a structure is there, such an organized structure that has consistent funding through at least like a very communistic 5-year plan, I think that's where it should start.
So the predictability of it.
Yes, the predictability, because like we know we have access to compute and we know we can fund people for an amount of time. Everything else will fall in place, I think, afterwards.
It's a way oversimplification, but it's kind of like build it and they will come.
Yeah.
Build it, plan, and they will come.
Yeah.
Sorry, did you have something to add to that?
Give them GPUs and they will train.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Eric summed it up very well. And I think this consistency is a part of it.
Yeah.
It can't be that we have sporadic, haphazard kind of initiatives that die out and they don't have continuity.
Right.
And this is an important part of the plan and the vision I was talking about. Mm-hmm. It should be a bit longer term and sustainable.
Right.
And sustained for a bit longer term.
Yeah. So on that note, if we were to think of a really realistic and tangible path to what you guys would be satisfied with 5 years from now, what does the 5 years from now look like? What's the tangible next step?
So I would say compute is one of them. but that is being resolved to some extent, it seems. But the second thing is to have constant stream of funding or fellowships for students to be able to go do trainings abroad, be able to go to conferences and get exposure to other scientists, other ideas, a different way of thinking, and then come back and apply that. I would like also to see some investment in startups that are using these ideas in their products.
Deep tech companies, exactly, R&D focused.
Exactly. Companies that are doing research in generative AI and have products so that these students can also, or practitioners can also, apply their work here in Armenia and won't have to, let's say, go abroad to be necessarily right. obtain the skills.
Right. Eric?
Yep. So just to quantify it, like, because you explicitly said within the next 5 years.
Yeah.
So within the next 5 years, there has to be like at least like 2,000 to 3,000 H100s present in Armenia.
Or the H100 equivalent.
Of yeah, or, yeah, or an equivalent type of a compute GPU. I'm saying this explicit number because like I know like teams at Meta, teams, not the whole Meta, that use more. But and around like 100 to 200 researchers of different seniority mm-hmm. guiding different groups in a physical facility that's built for them, and they're able to travel to conferences to present their work.
Right.
That's like the vision, the very optimistic one, the very dreamy one that I would very much love to have.
But you think that's a realistic target for 5 years from now?
If someone wants for it to happen, it's definitely tangible financially to happen.
Okay.
That's at least my belief. It's tangible financially to happen. It's tangible for to happen in terms of like attracting senior researchers to guide like the more younger generation. It's tangible in terms of travel because we're not restricted in terms of like getting somewhere. So everything in separation is tangible. What we need is someone organizing and driving this. That's where, like, what Perus mentioned is the vision. The visionary, maybe. The visionary organization.
And the will, I guess.
Yes, yeah. And the will. Because Daspra is willing, supervisors are willing, students are willing.
That's a great point to end it on. Thank you guys both so much. And I hope in 5 years we'll do it again and we'll have 2,000 to 3,000 H100s in Yerevan.
Yeah.
Or maybe all over the country.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. Much.